Blog Talk Radio.
Times when, as believing ones, we are faced with discouragement. There are times when we, as believing ones, are faced with anxiety, fear, and frustration. Psalm 3 addresses this reality. It is not a matter of if these things are going to come into our lives, but when. David, who is the author of Psalm 3, faced the same situations that you and I face today, and wonderfully they have been recorded for our spiritual enlightenment and comfort in the Word of God. Let me say that the word psalm simply means song. And the superscription in Psalm 3 reads, "A song of David when he fled from his son Absalom." And so the words that we have here are from immediate experience. They are not theory. This is not ethical philosophy. This is not good advice. What we have here are the words of a spiritually mature believer who faced a very dire situation, one in which his own son attempted to overthrow his father's kingdom. And indeed, David did flee from his son. David did leave Jerusalem. David had to leave his throne and his home. It was a very difficult situation in the life of David, but David had been told by the prophet Nathan that certain events would come into his life as a result of sin, as a consequence of sin. Nathan had informed David that God had forgiven him of his great sin with Bathsheba, but Nathan also stated that the sword would never depart David's home. And so David suffered the consequences of his sin, but not the penalty. God removed the penalty of sin from David's life. And we would do well to understand the work of God in our lives. But here, the focus is on heartbreak. And this is very prominent in these words. And yet, there is a note of victory also in Psalm 3. Let me read the psalm for you. Verse 1. O Lord, the Hebrew has Yahweh. How many are my foes? Literally, oppressors. How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Selah. Selah is a musical rest in Hebrew, and it means to stop look, and listen. Verse 3. But you are a shield around me. Notice, not just in front of me or behind me, but you yourself are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me, and I love these words, and lift up my head. Verse 4. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep, for there is a musical rest at the end of verse 4. There is the Selah. Verse 5. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Verse 7. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. And then the final musical rest, Selah. This psalm has only 8 verses, and yet contained within these 8 verses are very powerful spiritual truths. Now, in the superscription, a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom, the name Absalom means my father is peace, or my Ab is shalom. O Lord, how many are my oppressors? This word is important within this context because the words indicate adversaries who pronounce or who pronounced a judgment upon his inmost life or upon his personal relationship to God. In other words, these were foes, these were oppressors who slandered David. And the same word that is slander is used against those who went into the promised land when God's people reached Kadesh Barnea and the spies went in and brought back, we're told, a report of slander. The spies came back and said that the land was not what God had said it was. And so it was a direct slander or a direct attack upon the character of God. Now, except for Joshua and Caleb, those spies were judged by God. In the Old Testament, in Hebrew, the term slander at that time meant, as it does today, means to stand against the life of another. It is a very serious crime. And David's enemies, or his oppressors, as so indicated by the Hebrew word, pronounced a judgment upon his inmost life. And notice in verse 2, they go, we read, many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. The name Joshua in Hebrew is the word Yeshua. Yeshua is the Hebrew form of the Greek word Iesus, or in English, Jesus. Many are saying of me. Notice, many. And so that should make it real. That should make it right. And of course, what they say will prevail. Or in their thinking, they will prevail. Or what they want to happen to David will prevail. Many are saying of me, Yahweh will not Yeshua him or deliver. The word Yeshua means salvation. Jesus is Yeshua. He is our Savior. He is, which the word literally means rescuer, the one who rescues, or the one who drags away from danger or out of danger. God will not deliver him. That is, God will not rescue David from a dangerous circumstance or situation. There will be no, in other words, there will be no Savior for him. Another translation of verse 2 reads, there is no Yeshua for him in Elohim. So in verse 1 we have Yahweh, and in verse 2 we have the first name for God given in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, Elohim. Elohim with the plural suffix im, I-M, means the strong one of authority. The Hebrew pictogram for Elohim is the head of a bull or ox, the strong one of authority. Now, this is very interesting that in verse 2, this term Elohim is used in this manner. And so David's theology is under siege, as well as his life is under siege. When you are being attacked by the enemy, according to Ephesians chapter 6, we, you and I, wrestle not against blood and flesh, but against powers, principalities, authorities, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, you and I are enjoined by Paul to put on the armor of God. The verb tenses in the Greek, in Ephesians 6, indicate that you and I are to put on the armor of God. Now, in the Greek, it is never, there's no title which reads the believer's armor. Paul enjoins us to put on and never take off the armor of God. It is God's own armor. God's own armor. And so, David is told, and verse 2, many are saying, verse 2, this particular word is in the active voice. These are individuals who stand against David. These are individuals who want to see his defeat. These are individuals who hate David and want to see his life come to ruin. Now, in verse 3, we see what is going on in David's heart. In verse 2, we have what is going on in the hearts of the oppressors, of those who are in attack mode against the very life of David. They hate him so much that they have moved into the area of criminality. They slander, and they slander him. Psalm 7 says some very interesting things about those who feel that they have the authority to slander the life of another, to stand against the life of another. Now, in the Ten Commandments, as given in Exodus chapter 20, we read, "Thou shalt not kill." In Hebrew, it reads, "Thou shalt do no murder." Thou shalt do no murder. And there in Exodus, we read about the physical act of murder. Because Jesus takes this, what is given in Exodus 20 and in the Sermon on the Mount that is given in Matthew chapter 5, chapters 5 through 7, and also it is given in the book of Luke. Jesus says that he takes the physical act of murder and he elevates it, and he says, "We hate our brother in such a way, or our sister in such a manner." Jesus moves it from the physical act of this, the unlawful slaying of an individual, to the thought, to one's thoughts. In other words, Jesus says that we are not to slay our brother or sister in our minds, in our hearts. We're not to stand against their life. Jesus said, "But judge not, and you will not be judged." The word "judge" there means to pass sentence on the life of another. Do not pass sentence on the life of another, and you will not be judged. Judge not, and you will not be judged. If you pass sentence on the life of another, the Bible talks about the reciprocal nature of that sin, let me say, in that the one who passes sentence on the life of another, will he himself or herself receive the judgment in their own person that they have passed on another. Please read the book of James. And James says that the one who does not commit adultery, but does some other crime, such as murder, he has broken the law. See, the law, one cannot say, "Well, I keep this commandment, but I don't keep that commandment." The law is a single fabric. The garment of Jesus was a single fabric, and yet it was torn asunder by those who crucified him. It was shared among them. The law is a single whole. The law cannot be broken. Or one cannot pick and choose which of the laws that he or she will do and which ones he or she will reject. The law in Exodus 20 is called, is termed apodictic law. That is, law from which there is no recourse. It is law stated in the imperative, "Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not." It is law stated in the imperative. Notice it is not a suggestion. We have the apodictic law, we have civil law, and then we have religious statutes given to the people of God. And so it is important imperative to understand that the law is a single unit. One cannot stand against the life of another without untoward consequences coming into one's own life. So notice what David says in verse 3. But you are a shield around them. No, but you are a shield around me, O Lord. That, in other words, God is protection from being vulnerable to the enemy or one's enemies. In this case, the enemies of David. And notice what David says next. You bestow glory on me. Now, in the Hebrew, this is really wonderful. It reads, He restores me completely and lift up my head. He restores me completely and lifts up my head. This is wonderful. When you hurt really bad, sometimes you want to hang your head down and not lift it up anymore. But then David says, but you, lift up my head. And so, at the beginning of verse 4, David writes, To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. Verse 5, I lie down and sleep. So, for the believer who has suffered a defeat, whoever you are, let me say this morning, hold your head up. Stop nursing that defeat. Stop going over and over and over and over again what went wrong. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Don't let the enemy steal your peace. Don't let the enemy create discouragement and anxiety in your heart. Don't become frustrated. Don't feed upon discouragement. See, this is when discouragement can become something else. We don't want discouragement to degenerate into depression. When we feed on this negative information, it takes us somewhere that as a believing one, we do not want to be. We are told by the Word of God, we are told to guard your heart. It is important to hear the Word of God. We are told to guard our hearts. And this is Proverbs 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. You don't want to slander those who have slandered you. As someone comes within your sphere and tells you what a particular group has said about you, how they have slandered you, how you have been murdered by their words, you don't want to feed on that information. When you hear direct attacks upon your soul, you're not to respond in kind. Paul writes that we are not to return evil for evil. We're not to respond in that manner. You're going to destroy your spiritual life. You could become depressed. You could bring on an anxiety disorder in your heart. And again, if you respond in kind, you will get in your own way, and you have now been enlisted to stand against your own life by your enemies. Your enemies say horrible things in such a manner that if your soul is not guarded, if your soul is not protected, you will allow their words to go down into your soul in such a manner that you will become their tool to your own destruction. You have been enlisted to destroy yourself. You take the bait and you stand against yourself. It is important to trust in God. Notice that there is no word of revenge here on David's lips. Notice, instead, what did he do? David pillowed his head on the promises of God. The word of God became this wonderful pillow for David. And notice, verse 5, I lie down and sleep, and I wake again because the Lord sustains me, not one of my enemies. It says, the word of God allowed me to sleep instead of making my sleep flee, instead of being unable to sleep and rest, instead of sitting up at night feeding on the bread of sorrow, nursing defeat. David did what? He let the word of God comfort his heart. The word of God became his wonderful pillow. Let me say to you this morning, choose the word of God over nursing defeat, because you open your heart to people who are now standing against you. Give that situation to God. Hold your head up. Stop nursing defeat. God is on your side. If you have to say it 100 times today in order to help lift you out of that state, say, God is on my side. Say, God is on my side. Say it until you mean it. Meditate upon it until you bring back your spiritual balance, until you get restored. Go out, take a walk, get around people who are pleasant and supportive. Don't isolate yourself. Get out and enjoy the weather. Do something constructive for another believer who needs your help. Be around those who love you and support you. Ask for prayer. Have coffee with a friend. Get in touch with someone who needs your touch. Carry on your spiritual life. Do not allow defeat to take control of you. God loves you. God is on your side. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and you have a very pleasant and wonderful day.